All right, you're good to go.
Good to go. So all these facts that I'm talking about, as well as the fact that the TONA, the first 13th Amendment, which is a de jure organic constitution for the United States of America instrument being lawfully ratified, is in case number 185369 with the District Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. It's either in the principal brief, which, by the way, the writ of conspiracy is in the principal brief. The three-judge panel there accepted it as a fact in bank. So anything presented in the principal brief of case number 185369, which includes the writ of conspiracy to obstruct the lawful passage of the TONA, has been accepted as fact. So the passage of the TONA, of the Titles of Nobility Amendment in 1809, between 1809 and 1812, is a fact of law now. And that's an important aspect because none of these esquires have positions of power or authority in our government anymore. And not only that, but they have, by the TONA, they relinquish their United States citizens. So they're running around operating with instruments of trust in their all capital fashion that they don't have the authority over anymore. They're basically a nothingness by, in their own construct now, because they created the sus de cavi, but by the 13th Amendment, they relinquished them. So in all these cases where these judges, quote-unquote judges, are signing their names, you know, without signing them, just putting the all capital, that all capital instrument, they don't have control over. It's not theirs. So these are all moot, you know. And so this is a big deal as far as the reconstitution of our law, because everything that was produced in their fictional fifth jurisdiction that they created in 1940 with the Havana Acts and executive order are now in a set-aside account to be re-adjudicated and brought to recoupment and revindication to the American people. So basically, anything done since 1940 in the Fed Act is going to be reversed. And on the Treasury. So we're going to be eating off the spoils, the spoila apima, of their fictional fifth jurisdiction for a very long time, because it's going to take us many, 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 many years to go through these cases and reverse the charges to people in their estates and to correct the errors and the crimes against us since the Fed Act. So, and again, this is all put into the notice of removal of what they're mandated to do. So hopefully, praying that this is what's about to happen, that this is why Trump is holed up in the White House in protective custody, and that they're all in there doing what needs to be done. So that's where that is. I'd like to talk a little bit about Sean, because I want people to understand how great of a patriot he was, even though his wife wasn't even privy to a lot of what he did, because it would be too dangerous for her to know, because he had children. And they like to come after people's families whenever they came to TU. But I had known Sean before I went to prison the first time for their criminal acts against me there, too. And he approached me as a FBI informant, because he had heard of who I was and what I was doing, and he had been asked to do criminal things by the FBI, and he was not willing to do them, and they were criminal acts against his government in the state of Florida is where they had asked him to do it, another very corrupt state, and he asked for my counsel on what to do, and I said, don't do it. I said, that's treason. And little had people known that he had been given a Google Dork code, which is deep web code. Google Dork is all the codes that were created by the creators of Google to allow people in the know to enter into the deep web, okay, including pedophiles and stuff like that. So he had a Google Dork code that he had been issued, and he went and put it in. Well, and he was supposed to do it in such a case if he was ever been compromised or anything like that. Well, when he did it, that is when Snowden got the order through the NSA program to take a a ghost of the NSA system and leave the country. So, and then this is through Sean. This is Sean's testimony, which I have. He gave me power of attorney. He wrote his story. He wrote his professions down. I have those documents secured. But so his outing the fact that FBI agents, I believe even in conspiracy with the military, were asking him to commit crimes against the United States as a FBI informant is what precipitated Snowden's exodus out of this country with a ghost of the NSA system. Okay. And that was through using the Google dirt codes that he was given. So he basically went on the run for like 3 years and was evading the federal agents trying to bring him in to shut him up, basically. And he couldn't really tell his wife about these activities. And during that period, I was in prison for 1 year. When I got out, things had kind of calmed down, and he had resumed. They'd kind of stopped bothering him, and I think it was because he had started working under the Trump campaign. He did Bikers for Trump. He helped with that. He had they had a table at the Republican convention that he ran, you know. So he was a big. He kind of had gotten away from the FBI making him a target because Trump had come into office. Okay. And he'd made himself pretty much a central figure with the Trump campaign. And so he kind of resumed a normal life, but he was still doing ops, you know, backdoor ops for the Trump administration. And when I got out of prison, we started, he was kind of my liaison. And we started tackling the issues of child trafficking on the border because I told him, I said, China is going to invade us through the border. I kept saying, it's all about China, it's all about China, it's all about China. And, you know, so they started he had military ops giving him hotspots along the border where we could tell. They found there were Chinese troops like less than 20 miles off our southern border that had been shipped in through the Gulf of Mexico. We had, so we had foreign governments sitting at our border waiting that if Hillary had won, they were going to invade our country and she was going to let it happen. Okay. So, and they were going to come through our southern border. So they stopped that, and that's what precipitated the building of the wall. And then we started targeting these hot spots where they were doing child trafficking across the border through tunnels. So he did a great deal of work in stifling the child trafficking across the border, stifling a foreign army from invading our southern border, and talking the Trump administration into putting up a wall to protect us, much like the Scottish people did to protect themselves from the Brits and the Romans in the Isle, I think it's called the Hanseatic Wall. And my wife's lineage, the Croys, built that, by the way. So the Croy clan built the wall that protected Scotland. And so people gave Trump a lot of trouble about that, but they had no idea, as most Americans couldn't handle the facts of what was going on the border, they had no idea why the wall was being put up and what they were doing down there. But they had massive, massive amounts of child trafficking going both ways, but predominantly American children being trafficked out of this country that had been stolen through the probate courts of this country. And Arizona was a huge, huge state of that, and they were using the native tribal lands to do it there. And there was a big to-do problem there. But so in that regard, Sean did a lot of work for the country to save a lot of children and to save us from foreign army invasion. And we literally had China troops sitting like 20 miles from our border waiting for if Hillary won. And Obama had been involved in that as well. They had, he was setting us up to be the United Islamic States under a Islamic constitution, and that's the Jidifa. If people remember me talking about the Jidifa Foundation, which was an instrument of the of the United Nation that had been stolen from Angel Marcos's father, Ferdinand Marcos, had set that up in the United Nations. And then they stole it and were trying to make it an Islamic institution. So they basically had it set up to be invaded by China and then try to impose Sharia law over the whole of the United States if Hillary Clinton had won. And so he did a lot of work in that. And then when we started getting into my proving what they were doing in the courts, he started working. He went more into the CIA operatives. And I kind of distanced myself from him when he did that, because what they were trying to do is to get me to cure things through the Lex Mercatoria, which is how Trump and them and how they all work. And that's not the course of law. You can't cure the law through Lex Mercatoria. You have to bring Lex Mercatoria to the law. So when he went into the CIA ops, that's when I kind of distanced myself from him, because I wasn't going to do backdoor CIA ops. It's one thing if you're a militiaman and you're kind of an independent patriot and you have an avenue that they're allowing you to talk to, you know, to Trump through the back door. It's another thing to be an official CIA operative and talking the back door. And I said, if they don't want to talk to me through the front door, I'm not talking to them through the back door. And that's inappropriate in my mind and law. So I kind of severed relationships with them and had not really talked to Sean in about a year, year and a half. And we kind of had a big falling out because I didn't like the way he was trying to commercialize the Fourth Crown and things like that. And Fourth Crown is not a commercial instrument. It's an instrument of law, okay? So I had not really heard from him at all, and neither had my wife, even though he had for years been working to help us find our son, you know, to find out where our son was and to work on locating where he had been, where he was, if he was alive, since he'd been kidnapped for over 5 years now by Highland County officials. And we had not heard from him until about a week after I got arrested. And he called my wife and said, guess whose file came across my desk? And it was mine. And so I talked to Sean one time in the last 2 months. My wife had heard from him as late as 2 weeks ago, giving her kind of an update, asking her how I was doing. So what I'm going to tell you is that Sean was taken out in Texas. He was assassinated, I guarantee you, by a coup agent of state. And he was assassinated because of the work he was doing, probably with the Trump administration, when it came to my case and what I had done here in my arrest and the coup in Ohio. So I'm kind of upset about that, in that the reason why I do what I do in law and walk papers instead of, you know, violence, which is not the way you cure things in our country, is because I had hoped that we would not have anyone die. And so, you know, I'm upset in the fact that Sean has been murdered because he was doing work for us, for me, and was operating on behalf of the American people. And so he's a person that we lost because they love violence, and they don't operate in law, and they don't operate in paper wars, paper chess is what I call it. They operate in violence and tyranny and despotism. So he is a fallen soldier in the coup, and I want people to understand that people used to badmouth him because they didn't know what he did. We had handlers all the time coming after his family, but he's definitely an American patriot, and I will definitely find out who gave the order to have him assassinated, who was involved in that, and they will be tried and hung for treason. I will make damn sure of it, because he was a good patriot. So he's one of a long list of patriots that have tried to expose this, but I know that his death was a direct result of what he was doing to research what had happened to me in the criminal case and what I had done in the law there. I know that that's what was happening. So our family is very upset about it, and I know that his wife is just probably godsmacked, and she doesn't even understand the breadth of what her husband did, because, again, when you do these kinds of things, folks, you can't really tell your family. Because you put and he has children, you put your family at risk. They'll come after your family. And so any absence of him telling her what he did on the side in addition to having a real job, which allowed him to travel all over the country and do what he could do when he was there, you know, research things. He actually did trade shows, and he actually exposed that trade shows are a big source of trafficking of people, that they traffic undocumented people through the trade shows. You know, he didn't, his wife didn't know about all this stuff.
Can I ask, when you say trade shows for what exactly?
Like, you know, when you go, like, let's say you have a state fair and you go to a big venue and they have all these vendors where they sell this ware and this ware privately, you know, where you go into these big halls and there's like 100 private vendors selling things, these trade shows.
Right.
Yeah, so those trade shows are a huge source of human trafficking, adult human trafficking, and they'll traffic undocumented people through these trade shows venues. I mean, the trafficking of humans in this world, children and adults, is astounding. People have no idea that there are hundreds of thousands, millions of people that are trafficked all over this world by these criminals, and they are doing it through commerce, through the Lex Mercatoria, and they're being assisted by the controllers of Lex Mercatoria, which are your government, your agents, and they you know, I said again. In the Treaty of Peace and Amity, the state of Delaware is completely left off. So the coup's been in since 1783 to undermine the instruments of our trust, which the Constitution for the United States of America created the land trust, and they wanted an avenue to steal the land, to rout out the substance of the people. And they've had it in, I mean, you know, the secret Treaty of Verona, which predates our country by hundreds of years, they all agreed. The rulers, you know, the rulers of the realm had agreed that they were going to attack and undermine every Republican government that ever came up into being after the Roman Republic. So the Germany was a republic, okay, and they you know, World War One and World War Two was done to rout out the German Republic and the seven princes that had railed against the Pope in the Edict of the Worms. You know, so this is a coup through the Catholic Church, which is derived from the Holy Roman Empire, which is derived from the Roman Empire, which coup the Roman Republic. And that's the fallen temple. That's the fallen temple given to the Persians and Medeans in the Bible. Okay, the Catholic Church is the fallen temple given to the Persians and Medeans. And the Medici family, you know, prior to the Protestant Reformation, purchased, basically, as the largest banking family in the Mediterranean at the time, purchased and acquired five papacies in a row. And during those five papal, you know, and the Pope is the king of the bank of the world, okay? He's the king of the bank, okay? He's taking the spoila opima of the Roman Republic that the Roman Empire stole with the Pharisees, putting parens patriae on the public coffers, okay? The tithe on the usury on the public on the public bank.
You have 1 minute remaining.
They've been cooing republics since forever. These are people that have been around for thousands of years doing the same thing to every form of republican form of government. The Kemets are a republic. They were a republic land. The Egyptians, the pharaohs, cooed them, and that's the Exodus. This is long-standing thousands. Deep-seated evil heresy has been plaguing this world for thousands of years that our laws and our founders have finally routed out, because we put everything on paper and we gave it numbers and we called them negotiable instruments and the trackable. So this is the whore of Babylon being exposed right now. And I can call you back one more time. Yeah, this is prophecy, folks. We are in the end times. We are in the change from the whore of Babylon is about to be thrown. We're about to go into the golden era is what we're about to enter. And so everyone just keep praying.
Thank you for using GTL.